Blog Talk Radio.
Behold, our sorry face, we split my feet on a rock today. I'm so glad about that, what the Lord has done.
Have Miss Kay come and say good afternoon, and then she's gonna start us off with prayer, and she's going to read the opening scriptures for us as we get ready to get started this evening.
All right, well, let's get going. I'm going to raise up the prayer. Father God, we come to you this evening, first of all, thanking you for the many blessings that you have bestowed upon us. Thank you for this lovely day. We ask that your will be done during tonight. We ask that you remove us and increase your spirit within us and allow us to reach who you would have us to reach on tonight. Let the words of our mouth, the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight. We pray for your strength. Thank you for being our Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. And I am going to be starting. We're coming out of the book of Matthew. We're going to be in chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. So, again, that's Matthew 14, 22 through 33. Jesus walks on the water. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and, beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." So that was 22 through 33. Right, I'm going to turn it all over to you.
Yeah, then now we've all read this familiar scripture, and if you wanted to get the scriptures again, is Matthew 14, chapters 22 to 33, and Peter walking on the water with Jesus. We've all heard this story before, but there's some new insight that I looked at when I was reading these scriptures the other day, and there's a lot of them, so if I'm going to apologize ahead of time, because there's so many verses in there that says, "Preach me, preach me," and I know I'm not preaching, I'm just trying to show everyone something a little bit different in these verses that we have. And the first thing is we beat up on Peter, and y'all all hear preachers preach about how Peter didn't have the faith, and he took his eyes off the Lord, and he began to sink. And I'm going to get to that in a minute, but let's just look at the very first verse in 22. And I'm going to try to really take my time because Jesus gave the disciples some instruction. And in verse 22, it says that he told the disciples to get in a ship and go before him to the other side. And he sent the multitude away. He sent them away. He told them, he gave them instructions to go to the other side. And a lot of times, you know, Jesus would give us instructions. He'd give us an assignment to do things. And just like life is a risk. So when you're living your life every day, it's a risk. And with some risk, there's come some adversaries that comes with risk. You know, it's a risky situation to get on the boat and then to go to the other side, wherever they were going. Jesus told them to go. And that's the thing. When Jesus tells us to do something, he's given us an assignment. He's given us a destination to go. And if Jesus gives us a destination to go, I think he has a plan for us to reach the destination. But before they got to their destination, you see that the storm started to come and they saw something on the water, and they were afraid. First, the storm, the weather changed on them, and they saw people. They saw something that was on the water. It looked like it was a ghost. They cried out, a spirit or whatever it was, and Jesus spoke to them on the water. and said that it was him. It's Jesus. It's me on the water. And again, Jesus told them to go to the other side. He gave them the destination where to go. And they got scared in the destination. And then they got scared when they thought they saw a ghost. They were scared, if that's the right word to use. They were afraid, however you want to put it. They didn't know. But Jesus told them right then and there, be not afraid, it is I. And then Peter challenged him, it would if it's you, Lord, let me come. And the Lord told him to come. Now you got Peter walking on the water to where Jesus is because Jesus told him to go. Now I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to try to take my time and not get excited. But before they got on the boat, Jesus gave them a destination. And in the destination, what I come to find out, what happens to all of us in life, if we live long enough and we listen to what God tells us to do, there's some risky situations that come up in our life. But if the Lord is telling us to go from A to B, and there's some risky situations, and he knew it was going to be some risky situations, evidently, he really doesn't worry about the risky situations because he's telling you to go from A to B. Don't worry about the risky situation. He got you. But the disciples got scared.
Mm-hmm.
And after they were scared, they were afraid. But even when Jesus told Peter to come walk on the water, look what happened. Because every preacher want to say that when I hear him preach it, that Peter lost faith. He had little faith and took his eyes off Jesus. But that's not what the Bible says. And I'm going to be very careful because I want you to see what the Bible says. When Peter looked, it says in the fourth night, walking on the water, 26, 27 is where I want to be. Jesus spoke to them saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Verse 27. When the storm was going, Jesus spoke to them again and told them it was him. Be not afraid. But they still was afraid when Jesus was talking. And then Peter challenged him and said, let me come to you, walk on the water. And when Peter started to walk on the water, he saw the wind and was afraid and began to sink. It didn't have nothing to do with his faith. His faith had nothing to do with him sinking. When he took his eyes off of Jesus and started looking at the winds and the circumstances, and you got to understand, he was told by Jesus to go to that other side. And he took a risk. And with some risk, there comes some adversaries that comes up against you. And when the adversaries came up against you, he began to sink. It had nothing to do with his faith. Because when he started to sink, he said, Jesus, save me. And immediately he was saved. He had to have enough faith to call on the Lord to save him. So what happens here is Peter, and we sometimes get caught up in looking at the circumstances, losing focus, and when we lose focus, we begin to sink. It ain't have nothing to do with faith because if he had enough faith to call on Jesus to save him when he began to sink in the water. He had enough faith to call on him. And what happens with us as Christians, we look at our circumstances. We look at this COVID-19 and we wonder how in the world we're going to make it. Well, yeah, it's a risky situation going to the store, risky situation taking your kid to school. But if the Lord is for you, he's already made a plan for you to get to your destination, if I can say it.
Amen.
I'm really trying to take my time. Amen. When I say what I'm saying, I'm going to let Kay take over in a minute, but you got to remember. And then not only that, but before they took this journey, there's a reference. We all have references of Jesus taking care of us when it didn't look like he was going to take care of us. Right before they got on the ship, Jesus had just fed 5,000 men besides the women and children. They just saw Jesus do a miracle before they got on the ship. Of him feeding 5,000. And sometimes when we look at the references that we have with the Lord, he's always made a way for us. But we some way, somehow, kind of get stuck in looking at the circumstances and not referring back to the references of what God and how he healed us before. Everyone that I know have been broke at some point in time in their life. And at some point in time, the Lord gave you some money. So being broke today shouldn't have no effect on you because you were broke a few months ago and the Lord got you through it. You don't know how he got you through it, but he got you through it. That's when you have to refer back to your references of your relationship that you had with the Lord. And I'm going to slow down right there because I'm starting to get happy and I don't want to go too far. So I'm going to let Kate take over for here for a little bit. But just remember, it wasn't his faith that he began to sink, because faith had nothing to do with it. It was his doubt. And I'm going to deal with doubt when I come back. Go ahead, Kay.
Okay, well, I'm just going to piggyback off of pretty much everything that you just said. So initially when it starts out and they before they went, Jesus went his way and the disciples went their way, as you mentioned, Jesus had just fed the 5,000 plus the women and the children. And with that, the disciples at that time, clearly it doesn't seem that they were convinced that Jesus was the true Son of God, because they've seen all of this. And I'm going to go back to why I don't think that they believed that he was the Son of God at that point, because it didn't happen until after Jesus walked on water. So with this, Peter and the disciples, they dropped everything to follow Jesus. So Jesus had them drop everything to follow him. But the thing about this storm, Jesus went his way to pray, and he sent the disciples and Peter another way. So during the storm, Jesus was nowhere in sight. And a lot of the times we're in storms in our life, and whatever that storm may be, it may feel like Jesus is nowhere in sight, like he's left us in the storm alone. And I remember, you know, when we go on cruises, I like to go out and just hang out on the deck. And you go out on the deck and you're out, it's pitch black. You can't see nothing. You can see the water as far as you can see it. So I can only imagine by it being a storm, I'm sure it was very dark. Just like in our lives, we have a lot of dark situations that we deal with, which are our storms in life. And the thing about storms is they can be scary. And just like the disciples were fearful, fear has a way of blinding our eyes from us seeing the presence of the Lord. So I can understand how they were fearful, because they were looking at the Lord with their natural eyes, but they didn't see him. And if I'm not mistaken, this was the first time that the disciples worshiped Jesus. Let me see here in Matthew 14, 32 and 33, it says he called Jesus the Son, they called Jesus the Son of God. So I believe that's the first time that they worshiped him. So because if you think back a couple chapters before in Matthew 8 and 27, they were saying, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and waves obey. And now they answering their own question, saying, truly you are the Son of God. So that's when they, I believe, was their first point of reference of worshiping God, recognizing truly, this is the Son of God. Not the miracles that they just seen, everything that they seen beforehand with their own eyes, they still didn't feel that he was the Son of God until this actual episode on this boat. And a lot of the times we worship what we have seen, not with our own eyes, but from our heart. So the disciples, even though they saw a lot of the miracles, their eyes wasn't truly open. So that's why I know there's this song. It says, open the eyes of my heart, Lord, I want to see you. So a lot of times we have to not only look with our natural eye, but we have to seek God to open our heart so that way we can see the Lord through our hearts. And 2 Timothy 1 and 7 said, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. So if God has given us all of that, why are we afraid? If we're trusting in him, why are we afraid? We should trust him no matter how bleak the situation may look. Like you said, with this COVID-19 going on, a lot of us, we don't know. Everybody say September, October, November is going to get really bad. We don't know what the future holds. But just like Peter, instead of us looking at the situation around us, we need to focus on the one that's in charge, and that's the Lord. So if we get our eyes off of the whole situation, it's easier to focus on God and what he wants us to do. And when it comes to worship, worship is acknowledging who God is and praising him both for who he is and for what he has done. So when the disciples worshiped him, they had to give honor where honor was due because, look, this man just walked on water. And the thing about it, though, Jesus always comes to us in the storms of our life. So he's going to be there. He's waiting on you to cry out to him just like Peter, and he will come immediately. And a lot of times it may seem like he's not acting fast enough or he's not hearing us or whatever, and we feel that we're by ourselves. But the thing about it, he always comes when he knows that we need him the most. So he's going to come. He's just waiting, just like the disciples. They were hopeless. They were fearful. They think they're looking at a ghost. So they were hopeless at that time. And sometimes, you know, the Lord removes all of the crutches that we have in our lives, whether it's a person or money. You know, everybody's not living their life like it's golden with all this money flowing. There's going to be an end date. So your crutch cannot be your money. It cannot be your spouse. It can't be, oh, I'm in good health. Ain't nothing going to happen to me. You don't know what the future holds. So it's best to keep your eyes on the Lord, because the situations that you go through is an opportunity for him to draw you closer to him. He wants you to depend on him, nothing else. So when the disciples feared the storm and the raging seas ended up being walking steps for the Lord. Those were his steps. So there's nothing too hard for him to bring us through. So I don't know. You want to add anything?
Yeah, I did a lot. When we talk about, you know, Jesus commanded them back in verse 14 to go to the side, and he this ain't the first storm they were in with Jesus. There was another storm, and he was sleeping on the ship, and they went and woke him up, and he got up and told the winds to stop then and there, because he saw the wind, told the winds to stop, and they stopped. And the thing about what I'm going to get into now, and I didn't want to get ahead of myself, but I'm glad you said all what you said, because the Bible says that when he asked Peter, he didn't say, Peter, why did you disbelieve? He said, why did you doubt? And if you look up the word doubt in the Greek, the word doubt in the Greek, it means to waver. And to waver is what we do. See, I was ready to preach this until I looked at that word doubt, because I'm thinking Peter was doubting the Lord. He was doubting, and he wanted to get a better understanding of this. And this is good to me, because the word doubt means to waver. And to waver is to go back and forth. And we all have experience about going back and forth. On Sunday, we speak in tongues. On Tuesday, we're cussing out our coworker. We waver. You holy one day, the next day you ain't holy. That's what Peter was doing. It had nothing to do with his faith. It had everything to do with the situation that surrounds you. We can be holy on Sunday, and you hear him say, fake it till you make it. Well, see, I don't believe in that, because you can't fake being real. And Jesus has been real the whole time. He told him to go to a destination. When you go to the destination, and he said it in his own mouth, when God tells you something and we listen to what he tells us, there's going to be some risk. There's going to be some adverse. There are going to be things that come up against us. There are going to be some storms. The thing about when you got storms, can you stay focused and still keep the same belief that you're going to be okay? We've all been in that situation. I used to beat Peter up and preach this by how he didn't have no faith. I'm going to be calm with Peter, because the Lord convicted me, because I was just like Peter. You know, we all good when we paying our bills, but when we got more bills than we got money, then we start worrying how we going to make it. And then we went around worrying, and then the Lord makes a way for us. Then we go to church and shout like we knew all along he was going to see us through. Or when
right.
We sit. We sick. Oh, I'm worried. But yet you go to church. Oh, I believe we're going to get the miracle. But yet
when you're at home, when there ain't no one around you, you still, you're wavering. And this is what this word doubt meant, is to waver. So Peter was wavering when he was walking on the water. He was, eyes was focused on Jesus. He was doing good. But as soon as he started looking at the circumstances, he began to sink. And the word, and then he called on the Lord, and the Lord picked him up. It said immediately. Immediately. Now, right there, I got to slow down because I won't preach this thing so bad. Peter, when he fell and he was sinking, and Miss Kay gave a good scenario prior to them getting on the boat. Now, they were fishermen, so they had experiences being on the boat. They had experiences going through storms, but this was something a little bit different. And Peter then called on the boys in the boat to help me, and you got to understand this. They were all picked by God. They were all on the boat together. You with your homeboys, you with your friends. But when you get in that situation and you begin to sink, who are you going to call on? Most of us are going to call on Jesus. He didn't call on his friends. But sometimes we make the mistakes and call on our friends, and you end up drowning. And I don't literally mean drown, but sometimes you make the wrong decision because you listen to the wrong people instead of calling on the Lord. And this is a perfect example of why you need to call on the Lord. And even if you do got a little bit of faith, he's going to save you immediately. And he grabbed Peter and he walked back to the boat. Now, this is the good part that I want to preach. The disciples that were on the boat that saw Peter walk on the water, first, before they saw Peter walk on the water, these are the same disciples that heard Jesus say, go to the other side. These are the same disciple that heard Jesus say, be not afraid, it is I. They heard that. But they didn't begin to worship him until they got on the boat and the winds had settled down. They said, right, we will worship after everything is cool. You know how we do it in the church. I've been in church my whole life. I see how people do it. When everything is cool, that's when we start to worship God. When we get the healing from the doctor or get the word from the doctor, we've been healed. Now we want to go to church and, I knew it all. You know, we testify that. I knew God had me. But you know you were wavering back and forth. We all do it. And the only reason I'm bringing this up is because once we decide and we look at these parables that he's given us to look at, we can't waver back and forth. We have to keep focused. And the devil wants to come to ruin our focus. Not so much your faith, your focus. Because if you get your focus, I can sit up here and I can be dependent on Lord, but yet I can use my wife as a crutch. And I can be like, I need you to do this, need you to do that. And at some point, that's going to run out because I'm not trusting in the Lord. I'm trusting in that person. Even though she's supposed to have my back, I understand it. But the Lord, if he gave you an assignment to do, you have to trust him to get you through there, regardless of the risk and the adversary that's going to come against you. You have to solely trust on him. It's an individual walk. I can't walk for my wife. I can't walk for my kids. The only thing I can do is trust that I'm walking for myself, and the Lord is going to direct my steps. When you start getting in other people's walks and other people's lives, you mess up. I know my wife used to tell me, stop helping my boys so much, not helping them, but maybe the Lord wants them to walk on their own. Maybe they don't want to use my help because they got to get it for themselves. Sometimes we can be a crutch to people, and instead of them looking at the Lord, they look unto us, especially in the church. Everyone want to be, I'm going to save this person. I'm going to save this person. And it really ain't got nothing to do with you. It's between them and the Lord. All we can do is just tell them to stay focused on the Lord. Go ahead, Kay.
No, I mean, I was thinking that same thing when you were saying that, because a lot of times the Lord is trying to do something in somebody's life, and here we go. We trying to bail them out every chance we can because we don't want to see, you know, a parent, we don't want to see our kids hurt or go through anything. But when it's a lesson that needs to be learned, sometimes we do need to remove ourselves and say, okay, Lord, what are you trying to tell me? I can't be, because, you know, we're not going to be here all the time. And the goal is for them to be able to make it on their own. So if we're always doing something for them, it's going to make their life harder because they're not going to learn the tools to say, okay, you know, I've been here before. I can do that. That's not hard. But if it's like, oh, they're going to crumble. They're going to crumble if they don't. So, and then you set yourself up to be somebody's idol, and you don't want to be in a position where you're somebody's idol, because that's taking the place of God, and that's a bad place to be. So it is best, do what you can, and then remove your hands and let the Lord do what he needs to do. So I'm not saying don't be there for a person that's in need. That's, I hope y'all not taking it that way. But, you know, you can go so far, and then you need to let it go and let God, you know, have his way, especially if that person keeps getting in the situation over and over. They have to, you know, learn it the way the Lord needs them to learn it. But what I was going to say also, in addition to that, a lot of times storms happen. They have, like, what are they, flash storms or whatever they're called, where you have isolated showers here and you have storms that just pop up and then they disappear. So, and then you have some storms that pop up and they do a lot of damage. And I was thinking about that, like, a lot of things that we go through in life, there's like sudden storms, like a car accident. You just ride down the street, somebody run into you. Okay, that's a sudden storm, because when a car accident happens, you know, there's a lot of things that happen after the fact. Some damage, you got to get some repairs. You might be the one at fault. I mean, your car insurance may go up. You may get points on your license. So it's a lot of things that may happen in a particular storm like that. A lot of times, you know, somebody could just die suddenly. That's a horrible storm to find yourself in. So a lot of the times these sudden storms, COVID was, well, to me, I don't know if people knew about it, because from what I understand, a lot of people knew about this beforehand. But for me personally, COVID was like a storm. And that's a storm that we all can relate to. Everybody is going through COVID right now. So COVID is not something that says, okay, because you're black, you're not going to go through it, or because you're white, you're not going to go through it. This particular storm that we're all in, it doesn't care how much money you got. It don't care how much time you've been on your job. It doesn't care about your status, young, old. Your sexual preference, your religion, it don't care about none of that. So the thing about the storm that we're in as a nation, this is a hard storm. So the thing is, we have to be like, I don't want to say like Peter. Initially, Peter was bold, and he stepped out, and he's like, hey, I got this. And a lot of us do that too. We got this. I can handle it. But the more you start looking and getting your eyes on the situation around you, we can lose focus. So the goal is to get back on focus and follow what the Lord is telling us what to do, regardless of what the situation looks like. Look with the heart of God, not with our own natural eyes.
That's right. So, and also in what is being said is, we're in a storm, and you hear people say, well, we don't know if the Lord allow this for a reason or whatever. I just think it's just part of the times we're in. And I believe that the Lord is using this time for us to wake up, because we've been trapped inside four walls for so long. Now he wants to see the true believers. I'm talking about religious people. I'm talking about true believers. How are you going to cope with what we got going on now? Are you going to doubt, or are you going to continue to trust in him? Are you still going to go to church? Are you still going to do your prayers? Are you still going to check in on the sick? Are you still the things that we should be doing when we were in the church? And some of us only did it on a religious basis. Now that there is no church that's open, or if your church hasn't opened, or if your church did open, it's limited to what you can do. And it's very important. That's why I want to preach this so bad, because when the disciples decided to worship when everything was good, and I've been in church my whole life, when everything is good, you can have good church when everything is good. But let some adversity hit,
like right now when we can't get to the church, you can't get to the preacher, you can't get to them the way you want to, and how are you reacting? I'm seeing more people where I ain't heard from my pastor or this, that, or the other, and I don't believe this and don't believe that, and I'm still waiting on the church. And Kay, I'm sorry, I got to go somewhere for a minute. We got an election coming up. Are you probably raising what in the world election got to do with faith? It has a lot of stuff to do with the faith, because this is just my opinion. If the church would do what the church is supposed to do and let the government do what the government is supposed to do, I think we'll be okay. The church is supposed to pray and intercede. It don't bother me if Donald Trump is president or Joe Biden is president, because it really not going to affect my household, because for as far as me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. He's going to have the final say-so in anything that we do. That's what I believe in my heart of hearts. This coronavirus, has it affected us? A little bit, not a lot, a little bit. Like Kay said, it affected everybody to a certain extent, some more than others. But because who we believe in and who we have our trust and faith in, we're good. We're gaining weight. Everyone gaining weight in the household. So we're good. We're healthy. No one is sick. We are good. We have beat it so far. We haven't had to have, and I'm not saying this to brag, but I'm just saying some people need help with their rent because they can't pay their rent, this, that. We are good. So what I'm saying this is, if the church would just intercede and pray and stay out of the politics and stop giving your opinion on the politics and just do what God told us to do, pray for our leaders, whoever they are, it will work out better for the believers. That's just my personal opinion. And we'll be able to, but we get sidetracked walking to the polls because we want to vote for this person and vote for that person and believe the end. And regardless, I'm not telling you not to vote. Stand, do your vote. But at the end of the day, do what Christ told us to do and pray and intercede and do the things that he's called us to do, and the world will be a better place. Your community will be a better place. And most importantly, your family will be a better place. Because if you can do those things, the devil ain't got nothing on you. And God's promises will overtake what the government decides to do. That's what I want to say. I hope I meant what I'm saying. And the only reason I wanted to bring that up is because we get sidetracked in the polls and who to vote for and this, that. And we all worried about politically, but we're not taking the same energy in the spiritual and doing what God called us to do spiritually. And that is to pray. If you don't like Trump, that's fine. You don't have to like Trump. And if you like Trump, it's fine. Personally, he's very humorous to me. Every time I watch him, I laugh. Has he affected my pocket? I'm just being honest. Now, if I'm voting for him, that's my right to keep that to myself. I think you would know that answer. There's no way in the world I would vote for him. But at the same time, he's very entertaining to me. He's very entertaining to me. And the only reason I'm not going to vote for him is just because of his action. He doesn't act presidential. So when I say
the thing about that, though, right now we're all in a storm, and come election, the storm ain't going to stop. So it may be the same storm. It may be a greater storm. We don't know. So our eyes needs to be, like you said, we need to be praying. We need to be seeking the Lord. When you say the church, that's all of us. We are all
right.
The church. So we all need to be about our business, about our Lord's business, and do what
exactly.
He's telling us to do. Because we believe it's going to get a little worse than what we've ever seen. So we just got to do better.
Well, see, the thing about what you're saying is going to get worse, you know, that's what they're predicting and that's what they're saying. And see, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. We don't have to be a part of that worst scenario. And that's what I'm trying to say when I say we need to stay out of the politics. I'm not saying vote. If you got to write whatever you believe, that's, you take that to the poll and you exercise that. That's your you have the right to do that. What I'm saying is we're spending more time arguing politics back and forth than we are putting in the work that the Lord told us to do on a day in and day out, and that's to pray and that's to help one another. We're supposed to be doing these things, and let the government handle all that mess. Let them handle it. We'll go to the vote. We vote for who you want to vote for, and at the end of the day, leave that to the government, because that's what they're supposed to do. And what the church is supposed to do is to pray for them. Even if you're praying for someone you don't like, pray that you can convict them to make a different decision, to do something differently. And not throughout the whole Bible, when people change their minds about certain things in the Bible. But I'm going to get off the preaching in that. But God sometimes put on someone's heart to change.
Go
ahead.
Even in addition to that, though, not just so much the election, because, you know, we have to do that. You got to vote regardless. And if you're not voting, then shame on you. You don't have a voice if you don't vote. So get out there and vote. But in addition to that, when I'm mentioning it, it's probably going to get worse. I'm looking at when I go to the store, I have to use my debit card. I don't like using my debit card. I like using cash. They don't want to take my cash. They don't want to take my coins. And I'm like, y'all got a coin shortage. I got a lot of coins. Can I just give them to y'all? Y'all can have my coins. So when I pay for stuff in coins, they looking at me sideways. But y'all say y'all got a coin shortage. So I'm just trying to give you some coins. And I don't want to use plastic all the time. But it seems like we're being pushed to do that. So when I say things are going to get worse, something is brewing. And I believe Revelation is letting us know, hey, we got to wake up, because there's some underlying things that's going on that they're sliding into the system that we may not be paying attention to. So that's what I mean, not so much on the presidential election part, but on the everyday common people part. You can't have that stack hidden under the mattress, because pretty soon it's going to be obsolete. You ain't going to be able to use it. You need to go put it on some plastic. So that's what I mean when I say that.
Yeah. And you know, we're just going to sit and wait and see what happens. And when it comes to the money and the coins and everything, you know, I'm very excited. And when I say I'm excited, just to see the direction it's going in. At the end of the day, if you're a true believer, you already know something is brewing. And, you know, the second coming of Christ, you know, the rapture. And, you know, I don't want to get into that too much, but we know that it's coming and it's closer and closer. And these are the signs to the mark of the beast. This is all leading up to that. And it don't take a rocket scientist to see that. And what we're trying to do is give you the understanding is don't look at the circumstances. Keep looking at Christ. Don't look at the circumstances. Keep looking at Christ, because the circumstances are going to say you can't be saved in the condition you're in, and that's a lie. Now, people want to put, and I don't know why I'm going here, okay? People want to put a condition on salvation. You got to go to church. You got to do this. You got to do that. It's more so today than it's ever been in my 48 years of living, condition in order to be saved. You have to be a certain status to belong to certain churches. And it's messing up people who really don't know Christ, who just want to know Christ for who he is, and not all of the policies that come with it. Because, you know, some churches got a lot of policies that come with Christ. You can't do this,
right.
You can't do that, you can do this, you can't do this, you can't do that. And nowhere in the salvation scriptures I read where it says you got to stop doing anything. It just says believe. And then confess.
Okay.
Now, after you do that, it becomes a life changing. But that's based upon an individual. There's some things I just don't do. I never drunk. I never got high. That was nothing that I did. But some people struggle and have been struggling for years with that. I cannot say they're not saved or they don't belong in the kingdom because they're struggling with something. I can't say that. I struggle.
You know what's funny?
Eat a lot of sweet. Go ahead.
Right. So that's the funny part right there, is because people look at all these sins that you can see, alcohol, drugs, whatever the sins that you can see. But there's a lot of hidden things that people do. You're lying. You're gossiping.
Right.
You're backbiting.
Right.
You're doing all this other stuff, and nobody can't see it. but you doing it. You think God don't see that? So you can't turn your nose up at somebody because you can actually see their sin. You can watch them do their sin. But your sin, you might be sitting in the room looking at porn, doing what you're doing behind the scenes. God still sees it. So don't
Amen.
Act like you all that. You turning your nose down at somebody. So
you're absolutely right. And not only that, but, you know, there is no great big sin or no little sin. If you're doing something because can't no one see it, you ain't no better than that alcoholic or that drug dealer or that prostitute or that pimp. That's the only thing you're not. We want to put them in a box and sit them in a special session in the church because they're not on our level. And it's just funny to me that, you know, it's just funny to me. And I don't want to get off sidetrack or get off the subject that we're talking about, but this is about being focused in a stormy night, if I can say that, staying focused on the Lord. The Lord already gave us the directions to go. And if he gave you the directions to go, there's going to be some risk. There's going to be some there's going to be some stuff. It ain't going to be clear sailing. There's going to be some winds. There's going to be some, but you have to remain focused on the Lord. And if for anybody that gets in trouble, Peter gave, "Lord, save me." And immediately the Lord saved him. And that's what we need to take from what we're trying to say tonight. There's going to be storms. I don't care who you are. I don't care how many times you pray. I don't care how much money you put in a collection plate. You're going to have some storms. And sometimes, because we all have done it, me included, we're going to get tired. We're going to lose. We're not going to always look at Jesus. And when I say this, and I believe this is what I believe, how do you know Jesus is a provider if he ain't never provided for you? How do you know Jesus is a healer if he never healed you? Sometimes you got to go through these things. But what happens, and Kay, this gets real good. You know how kids feel self-entitled, how they always think you're supposed to bail them out? And then when the real world hits them, they get a little attitude and have a little tension tantrum. That's the same thing what happens in the spiritual realm. We think we self-entitled, like we ain't supposed to go through nothing. But if you don't ever go through nothing, you will never grow. If the rain don't hit the ground, the grass will never turn green. You got to go through some type of storms. You got to have some type of situations. You got to have that in order to grow. And even when you feel like you fail, because ain't no one perfect, and the Bible says no one is perfect, and if any man claim that he is perfect, he's a liar and the truth ain't in him. So no one is perfect. You're going to get tired. You're going to take your eyes off of Jesus, but have enough sense to call on him because of what he's done for you before. And I believe everyone have a history with the Lord where he saved us from something, somebody, or someone.
Amen.
And we all have that testimony. I don't care how long you've been with the Lord, or if you ain't been with the Lord, he still blessed you and saved you from something, somebody, or some places. And once you realize that and you think back on it, the Lord's been controlling you this whole time. You might as well go ahead and surrender and turn your will into his will. And don't let this Christian walk become, don't let it become a Sunday thing. I would say, okay, but before I go there, I want you to, do you have anything you want to say?
Yeah, I just want to go back to kind of what you were saying, you know, about the storm. Now, I'm picturing the disciples. I'm sure they weren't just sitting in the boat chilling while the storm going on. I'm sure they were fighting. I don't know if they used pedals or paddles or whatever. I'm not sure. But I'm sure there was a fight going on. I'm sure they were battling the storm. So it wasn't like they were laid back just letting the storm take the boat wherever it wanted to go. I'm sure they were straining and struggling and just trying to steady the boat,
just like we try to do. We try to steady the boat of our life. We try to get it together. We try to keep control. And we like, God, where are you? I'm losing it here. Like, I need you. I need your help. I'm not going to make it if you don't show up. So with that, Peter was the only one that was bold enough, in my opinion, to ask the Lord, when after they saw Jesus on the water, to ask the Lord to bid him to come. And he stepped out boldly. He stepped out like we do. Like, you know, sometimes we say, oh, I got it. I can handle it. And we think we got everything under control, not knowing that you need God like never before. And like you were saying, his eyes, not so much that he took his eyes off the Lord, he just started looking at his situation around him. And that's when he started to think. So as long as Peter was focusing on the problem and not Jesus, the storm could overtake him. And so when we think our troubles are bigger than Jesus, we start to sink, whether it's bad news, a bad diagnosis, financial issues, children acting crazy, this homeschooling is driving us crazy, can't find a job. I mean, anything that's going on and we think the problem is bigger than Jesus, that's when we need to do like Peter did, when he called on the Lord and asked the Lord to save him. And like you said, and like the scripture says, Jesus immediately saved Peter when Peter realized his own hopelessness. So it was a hopeless situation that Peter was in. So when he cried out to the Lord, he realized, I can't do this on my own. And just like we need to realize, a lot of things we can't do in our own strength. The storms do get great. The storms can be bigger than us, but it's not bigger than Jesus. So we need to cry out to him. And even though he may feel far away at times, he's always there. So if we cry out and ask him to save us, he promised never to leave us. So he's going to be there. And there's no storm too big for him. So let the Lord take control. Cry out to him. No matter what the storm look like, look to him, call to him, and he'll give you the power to endure the storm. He can either pull you out of the storm, or he's going to give you the power to endure the storm. At the end of the day, all you got to do is trust him, because it's going to work out for your good in the end, because he's God. And I want to, this one scripture, Jeremiah 29:11, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." So, and he said it right there. So we need to focus on what God is having us to do. So your problem is not bigger. It may seem bigger. It's not bigger. There's somebody greater than your problem. So,
man. And I just also remember what she said about when he cried out and he fell in the storm. Remember, who told them to go to where they were going? It was the Lord. So if the Lord is leading you and he's guiding you, he's going to see fit to get you through whatever the adversity or the risk. He's going to get you through it. He already knew about it. That's why he was walking on the water in the first, but he knew it was going to be a storm. He was already there.
It wasn't a surprise.
People don't look at you, he's already there. Even though when you think he's not there, he's just waiting on you to call on him. And when Peter had the conversation, Peter didn't say, save me from the boat. He said, if it's you, can I come out there? And the Lord, well, come on. You got it, come on. And sometimes, you know, in life, we get to that point where we want to, let's go. And then someone, somebody, or something will trip us up. And that can cost you your life. And when I say that, I mean that in the natural and in the spiritual. It can cost you. I want to share this story with you, and then I'm going to get out of here. It's really a funny story. Last year, me and my wife, on our second anniversary, we went to New Orleans. We went to the Essence, which was on a Sunday. We wanted to go to New Orleans. We wanted to see if New Orleans was like it always played out to be on TV. And we went to, what's it called? Bourbon Street?
Yeah.
That's the name.
And but the funny thing is, when we got on the plane to get to New Orleans, our plane was lit. It was crowded, and people started drinking on the plane. They were ready to go to park. But the thing about it is as me and my wife were sitting there, we're just going for really one day for Sunday for the gospel fest.
Yeah.
And but yet we wanted to go try the food, but we wanted to see if Suburban Street is like it is on TV. We never been. We just wanted to experience it. So on the plane, everyone is getting hyped up for the weekend. And you got to understand something. And I heard numerous of people say, I just want to escape this weekend, escape their life. And I got to thinking about that when I was studying this. A lot of people want to escape their life. And we as Christians sometimes want to escape our life. And as me and my wife, we got to New Orleans, I think it was Friday, we walked Bourbon Street. And you saw people drinking. You saw young ladies with no clothes on. You saw men with no clothes, hardly no clothes on, smoking and drinking, just having a good old time. And me and my wife, now we're there for Essence. What we felt as we walked, was we felt dirty. Not that we were sinning, we just felt dirty, like we need to go take a shower, because this isn't us. We felt that filth, that sin. It just made us feel dirty on a natural and also on a spiritual. But in the middle of all of that, I remember there was one white guy, maybe two or three of them, with a bullhorn in the middle of Bourbon Street trying to save souls.
Amen.
He was trying, in all of that chaos and all of that mess, he was trying to save souls. And the moral of my story is everyone was trying to escape their weekend just to say they had a good time and don't even remember the good time they had because they were drunk, high, or whatever. And then to come back to reality on Monday, not knowing what they did over the weekend. And as Christians, we sometimes want to be like the world and escape our reality. And if you're living for Christ, you are not wanting to escape your reality. You ought to be striving for your reality because whose reality you're living. And it's not about you. It's about Christ. It's not your will. It's his will. So it's his reality, not yours. And if you're trying to escape that, you're trying to separate yourself from being a part of Christ. If you're trying to go away for a weekend. And sometimes we say, I just can't wait to Sunday to get to church. Well, now some people can't get to church on Sunday. What you going to do? If that was your reality, I feel sorry for you from Monday to Saturday if all you're trying to do is get to Sunday. But if you're living for the Lord, every day ought to be a good day. And when I say that, every morning you ought to get up, you ought to have a scripture. This is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to be glad and rejoice in it. Not just on Sunday.
The only escape you should be trying to do is escaping for time alone with the Lord. That's the best escape right there.
That's a good place to end. Yeah, there you go. It's a good place. If you want to escape, escape from everyone and try to go do what Jesus did and pray and keep on praying. Because that's what the church is supposed to be doing right now. I know it's election time. Pray and keep praying and pray for the leaders. Pray for the leaders. And regardless, whoever wins the election, you ought not really be worried about it, not because you don't care, but because of who you belong to. And I've never seen the Lord take his hands off any of his kids. He's always been there to push us forward and to see us through all the situations and all the storms. So if Biden gets in office, praise the Lord. If Trump gets in office, praise the Lord. My mind is we're going to continue to pray that they seek the Lord and that they know the Lord just in case they don't make it to the next day, that they would go home and be with the Lord. Pray for your leaders and pray that they make the right decision, not just for me, but for everybody. And a lot of people that I know, a lot of my friends that I know that I talk to, it don't matter who wins the election because the Lord is going to take care of us. And as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. So long as we're voting for the Lord and doing what the Lord wants us to do, they can't know when, if the Lord is for you, who's going to be against you?
My president is Jesus.
Amen.
And if he's my president, he's going to have the final say over everything that goes on in my life. If he wants me to eat steak every day,
Lord of Lord.
That's right,
man.
We'll eat steak every day. If he say we need to lose a little weight, then we need to lose a little weight. And everyone can stand to lose a few pounds from what I'm seeing right now. But that's just the way things is. And I hope you guys learned something tonight. I hope we were helpful for some of y'all tonight. Don't beat Peter up when y'all preachers, when y'all see him and say he didn't have no faith. Scriptures didn't say that. He sunk because he looked away from Christ. He had enough faith to say Jesus saved. And Jesus said, "Thee of little faith, why did I doubt?" And again, doubt means to waver. Wishy-washy. I've been in church my whole life, and ain't no one wishy-washy more than the saints, me included. So remember that next time you want to beat Peter up. We done the same thing. And how do you build your faith? Faith come by hearing. Hearing what? Hearing the word of God. You got to keep hearing the word of God to build your faith up. You got to keep studying the Bible and practicing scriptures to help you get through the day. That's how you build your faith up. So with that being said, Kay, I think that's a good place to end it. We want to thank everyone that listened to the D&K Bible Break. We hope you learned something. We hope we do. Yeah, I'm going to let you say something. Go right on ahead. Go ahead.
Okay, so at the end of the day, my whole point and goal is for anyone listening, if you don't know how to pray, if you think you got to be long-winded and use these big giant words and do all this extra theatrical stuff, then I promise you, God can hear you no matter what you say. He can, if you're his child, his ears are open to hear you. So speak to him, cry out to him. And remember, there is no problem that's bigger than God. Not this virus, not any diseases, not any storm that you face in this life. Nothing is bigger than God. It may seem like it's a big magnifying glass on your situation, but God is bigger, and he is yet in control. If I can leave a scripture, I'm going to leave Isaiah 58:1. It says, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Cry out to God." And if I'm using that out of context, forgive me, but I like that part of that scripture right there. And it says, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Cry out to God. He is there. He is ready, and he is able to do whatever you need him to do." And that's all I wanted to say.
Amen. I enjoyed what you just said. And just remember, just crying out, "Lord, save me," he will save you. It don't take all of that. You ain't got to go to no school. You ain't got to turn around three times and do the Holy Ghost shake or anything like that. All you got to do is just talk to the Lord. The way you talk to anybody else, just talk to the Lord. He knows your heart. And if he knows your heart, he knows your heart better than I do. So I can't tell you you this, you that, or you the other. All I need to hear you say is that you're a child of God. And if you're a child of God, then we're going to believe and trust that he's going to be with you through thick and through thin. Just remember, it's not if the disciples who saw Jesus and walked with Jesus struggle, you're going to struggle too. Just remember that. But also remember in struggling who to call on when you need some help. Don't call your pastor.
Amen.
Don't call your mama. Don't call your daddy. Don't call your friend. Call on Jesus. And after you have that conversation with Jesus, he will direct you to who you go to and who you talk to. And surround yourself around some good people. Good people who know how to get a prayer through. Good people who can talk to you and get you right back where you need to be. I didn't say control you. I didn't say tell your business, but surround yourself with some good people, people that will tell you the truth. If they're telling you everything you want to hear, you need to check your circle. Got to be
right.
One or two people that's going to tell you something you don't want to hear. And sometimes the truth hurts, and the truth will make you sad,
and
all of that. So just like I said in the very beginning, we hope, me and Kay, again, in this coronavirus day and age, was birthed B&K Bible Break. We ain't on no verge of having no church. I just want to say this for all the people who will maybe want to have an opportunity to come on the show and talk, who maybe wanted to try to teach something. You can come on. We'd be more than happy to walk you through, because we might learn something too. We learn something every day from every. We learn something.
Amen.
We learn something, and we're listening to people, and we're in a better place because of COVID-19. It had to sit us down and reevaluate what we were doing and why we were doing it. Now we're doing it. It ain't to please no pastors, no bishop. We're doing this to please the Lord.
Amen. Day,
he's going to get the glory. We ain't getting paid for
Amen.
This. And just not that it, you know, that don't mean anything that we're not getting paid for this, but it takes a lot of work to look up these scriptures and to come on and to do this week in and week out. I ain't asking for no money, because by me doing it, the Lord, I'm talking to the Lord more and more. And the Lord is showing
Amen.
Me more and more. So everything in my life is increasing more and more. Now, you can take that for what it's worth, but that's the truth. So if you, and I just want to say this because we're getting ready to go, we'll be done in the next 2 minutes. If you don't believe, you just want to try it. Just try being committed to reading the Word every day and trying to put something together. You ain't got to teach it to no one. Just put it together and leave it in your notebook. And I guarantee you, after day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, stuff will start opening up for you, because you're spending time in the Word. And if you spend time in the Word, believe you me, the Lord is going to start directing certain things to happen for you. Where people say no, they're going to start saying yes. People start shutting doors, doors are going to start opening. And you will not be able to explain. That is my testimony since December. I can't explain hardly anything that's going on in my life, but it's all been for the good. And God gets all the glory and the credit.
Amen.
Not because we're spiritual, because I'm not. I make mistakes, made a mistake today, made a mistake yesterday. Probably going to make a mistake tomorrow. But it's not in that. It's in through reading the Word, talking about the Word, including my wife praying and just doing things of the way the Lord is leading us to do it. And you can do it too. If you want to come on the show, you have something you want to talk about, reach out to Kay or reach out to me. We'd be more than happy to have you. Monday, we'll do a different day. But I'm going to get a platform. I'm opening up the platform, because everyone on my platform is being blessed tremendously. And I'm just from Praise Tabernacle Church to the overseer to Elder Bazaar, everyone is being blessed. And we're reaching thousands and thousands of people. Not begging for money, not looking for prestige, just sharing the Word of God. And I'm telling
Amen.
You, start doing that, the Lord will open up doors. You will get a job. You will get healing. Because the Lord has some promises for us. Now, in order to find out what the promises is, you got to get in the Word and see what it says. But if he said it, he meant it. And with that, this concludes the D&K Bible Break. Hope you learned something. Tune in tomorrow night. We got Bishop Omar Zachary and Praise Tabernacle Church. We'll be doing the Bible study live on Blog Talk. And listen in, and I challenge you, listen to the Word. It will be a rich Word. It will be a Word that will bless you. And I'm guaranteeing you will be blessed if you listen tomorrow night at 7 p.m. With that being said, Ms. Kay, you want to take us home?
All right. Thank y'all for listening. We pray that y'all have a blessed week. And keep in mind, no matter what the situation looks like, God is yet in control. Thank y'all for your support. And inbox me, inbox Derek, If y'all want to come on and you have a topic you want to discuss, let us know.
Amen. I'm sorry about
that.
Amen. And with that being said, we're going to have a quick word of prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just want to thank you. Father God, if anyone out there that is searching for you right now, Father God, that needs you right now, Father God, we ask you to touch their hearts right now. Father God, touch all those that listen that we may have helped. And Father God, just strengthen them up right now and let them know to keep their eyes on you. And Father God, we ask that you continue to bless us as we go our separate ways. But Father God, keep us all together in unity and in your name. We ask these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Good night.
Good night.
If you've lost your health coverage, or you...
Take me... No. I was right good in here. I church you right here. What you know about Jesus, Lord.